In Ruth, the first chapter in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges rule, there was a famine in the land." These were not pleasant days, and the book of Judges gives us the bigger picture of sweeping events, but the book of Ruth focuses narrowly upon one family. This great family faces a tragedy. Famine forces the family of Elimelech to leave their home and their inheritance in the land. They travel to Moab, which is about the worst you could get, east of the Jordan, where they hope to find peace and food. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judea. In the country of Moab, Elimelech dies, his sons marry Orpah and Ruth, Moabitess. But the tragedies do not stop with the famine, nor the moving, nor even the death of Elimelech. In addition, both sons die. Now, most widows in that day and age depended on their family or they begged. Naomi has no daughter except two daughters-in-law. Her daughters-in-law have family in Moab, and Naomi decides to return to her homeland. It is to their credit that both daughter-in-laws are willing to leave their family and go with Naomi. In verse 8, we read that Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Naomi asked that the Lord will deal kindly with her daughters-in-laws to show unto them loyalty and loving kindness, even though she believes that the hand of God has gone out against her. She is grieved at that for her daughter-in-law's sake. In verse 13, she said, "Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." After Naomi's pleading, Orpah returns to her home. But Ruth will not let Naomi go. She pleads, she begs. She makes this beautiful and profound commitment to Naomi in verse 16. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Wherever you walk, I will walk with you. Whatever you bear, I will bear with you. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Wherever you stay, in whatever condition. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Here is a wonderful, beautiful definition of love. Not the romantic notion of today, but one of faithfulness. These phrases have often been used in weddings, but there is no hint of the modern romance. Here a woman is making a covenant. She is pledging loyalty to her mother-in-law, no matter what. What does that mean to us, no matter what? When we say, "I'll be there no matter what, you can depend on me no matter what, I will be faithful and true no matter what, I will love you forever no matter what," what do we mean by that? Well, in Ruth's case, no matter what could very easily have meant the worst of poverty, begging for food enough to stay alive, or even starving to death. Doesn't matter to Ruth. She will be faithful and true even to the point of death. As Christians today, we must be true to our word. We live in a society, we live in a world that makes a lot of promises and that breaks a lot of promises. As Christians, we're told, "Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation," James 5 and 12. Do you know why Christians are not to swear? Is it because we would be condemned? Certainly. But is it because we're told not to? Oh, yes. But don't you see, dear friends, it is the reason that Christians don't swear, because there is no need to. They must be true and faithful to their words. Ruth was true to her word. She would follow Naomi even if it meant poverty, humiliation, and death. Once they return to Bethlehem, the bleakness of their situation becomes clear. And Naomi, whose name means pleasant, tells them to call her Mara, which means bitter, Ruth 1, 19 through 21. Ah, but Naomi has Ruth, and the name Ruth means friend, and she will prove to be that and more. She said, Naomi said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty again. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So what can they do? No husbands, no family. Their best hope is to glean with the poor after the harvesters, as the law of Moses allowed in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. However, there was a conflict. Here in Deuteronomy 23 and 3, a Moabitess could not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Not even to their 10th generation were they allowed. Intermarriages with neighbors, and especially Moabite women, was condemned. Ezra and Nehemiah later will condemn all mixed marriages. But Ruth stresses the other side. She is a Moabite woman, but she will show loyalty to Naomi, to Boaz, and most importantly, she will be faithful and loyal to God. Dear young person, if you are contemplating going with someone who is not a faithful member of the Lord's church, or if you are contemplating marrying someone, you are courting disaster. You are courting disaster. And it doesn't matter how many times you say you love them and how wonderful he's going to be. If you believe that, you need to get your head out of the sand and read the evening paper. This is the message John the Baptist and Jesus and the early church sounded. Faith and faithfulness, not blood, make us children of Abraham. Faithfulness and loyalty to God's commands makes us a child of God. We live in a world where there is growing tribalism. Throughout the world, ethnic conflicts are taking place. In our own land, segregation by race and tribe is making an ugly comeback. It is crucial for the church to live out the truth that God is no respecter of persons. Faithful and true, Ruth's love does not falter. Providentially, Ruth gleans in the field of Boaz. Boaz is a well-known man in the city. Elders turn aside to speak with him. He has many servants and maidens. He's a very gracious man. He protects Ruth and shows her favor, even special favor at mealtime, Ruth 2 and verse 14 through 16. Here we read of that beautiful verse, let fall some handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean and rebuke her not. But notice, please, what is it about Ruth that attracts Boaz? Is it her beauty? Undoubtedly, she was beautiful, but that's not it. It is her faithfulness. She is faithful and true to Naomi. He said in verse 11, it hath been fully showed me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the time of the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz just happens to be a near kinsman to Naomi's late husband Elimelech. The law of Moses deals specifically with this situation. It is at this point that Naomi can see the hand of God at work. Now, in the book of Ruth, there are no great miracles set forth, simply God working in quiet ways in the lives of individuals. A daring plan begins to take shape. This man is a kinsman. Ruth is told by Naomi, her mother-in-law, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth with barley tonight to the threshing floor. Wash yourself, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the threshing floor. Make not thyself known unto the man until he hath done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down. Mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. So Ruth bathes and perfumes and dresses well. She goes to the threshing floor outside the city and waits until the men are through eating and drinking. Walking softly, she uncovers Boaz's feet quietly and lays down there at his feet. This plan is not without risk. Ruth is not trying to seduce Boaz. That would be disastrous. Rather, she counts on Boaz to be faithful and true to the covenant of God. Once Boaz, during the night, turns himself and discovers her, he said to her in verse 9, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." There is a beautiful play of words here. This expression, "spread your cloak," is the identical expression, "spread your wing." Will you protect me? Will you care for me? As Ruth came seeking refuge under the Lord's wing, she now seeks the protection of Boaz, and oh, he does not disappoint her. He says to her, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Kindness. This is our word, faithful and loyal, and she will be. Her head was not turned by the young men. Boaz is old enough to refer to her as his daughter, but it is Ruth's faithfulness and loyalty in this even greater and more impressive manner that attracts Boaz to her. May I say this evening, this is a message we desperately need to hear. Faithful and loyal, obedient love. In a world where contracts are nullified, marriages are dissolved, and unborn children are aborted for convenience, we need to hear this. Some contracts ought to be nullified. Some marriages are terrible, and some pregnancies are life-threatening. But we need to be faithful and loyal to the commands of our God. We have entered into a covenant with him, and we must be faithful and true. How is it with you? When Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation steps forward, there written upon his thigh are the beautiful words, "Faithful and true."